soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis, sounding the alarm on April 22nd, 2015. Have you ever had a discussion with somebody from a different country and they were speaking their language? You heard their sounds, what they were saying, but you had no idea what they were saying. You know, we learn to understand language, which is sounds put together in certain inflections. There's facial features, body language. It's part of communication. Have you ever spoken to a person of another language? I'm from Orange County, California, originally. Many, many times I would be speaking with someone that was from Mexico. I'd speak and they'd say, no comprehende, no comprehende, which means I don't understand. Well, the same is true with Jesus in the kingdom of God, that the Lord has a certain language. It's a language of truth, language of life and peace and joy. But God's language is written, and it's forever settled in heaven. It doesn't change. And God has always been particular about the administration of his word, that if anyone's to speak his word, they're to speak it faithfully. It's not to be as wheat with chaff added, or products that are made today with artificial ingredients and fillers and binders. No, a true servant of the Lord wants to reflect the one that has sent him. That's what Jesus has said. A true servant glorifies the one that sent him. And that's us. As disciples of Jesus, followers, we keep his sayings. We do what he says. We let him be our life. We let him be our master, our Lord. And we follow him. And we speak faithfully his word. We don't add to it. We don't subtract it from it. And if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if anyone minister, let him minister according to the grace that God gives, that God would be glorified through our Lord Jesus Christ. But see, many have the caste or form of religion and speak words that sound right, but they're slightly off. A little bit of leaven will leaven the whole lump, is what we're taught. But God has a language, his word. This is why we want to study his word. But it's so fascinating that this isn't just words and learning the language, but this is very spiritual, and it has to do with the core of a person's being, their heart, whether they will ever understand. And what Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, verse 23, he said, take heed, take very much concern and attention to the degree that you listen, because with that same measure, it will be given to you. Yes, right. It's like a knob. You can shut it completely off by not listening, by having no interest in the things of the Lord or the truth, or being stubborn and worldly and rebellious, and you just shut it off. And guess what? Not only will you not grow in the communication of what the Lord has said and is saying and shall say, but even that which you have will be taken away. And this is how people go backwards. Having once been delivered by the power of God, they go back into depravity, like a dog eats its vomit, like a pig that was washed goes wallowing in the mire. And it had been better for people to never have known the truth than to depart from the holy commandment. These are admonitions of the Lord that are spoken in the scriptures. This message today is about no comprehende, Señor. This is about how darkness does not understand light. Don't even get it. I'm going to read some verses throughout the scriptures here, this message. But this is from John chapter 1, verse 5. And the light shines in darkness. This is referring to Jesus. And the darkness comprehended it not. See, the darkness doesn't get it. People of the light are speaking of a certain way with certain principles that are not worldly, that are higher than the heavens. God, as God said in Isaiah 55, His ways are not the ways of man. They're higher than the heavens are above the earth. There's absolutely no lie or shadow of turning with the Lord. No variableness. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I'm showing you here that darkness does not understand the Lord. Jesus encountered this in John chapter 8. I'm going to share that with you. Jesus had this butting heads session over and over and over with the religious system in that day, who were stage players, religious professionals, actors, who used the scriptures as a script and had formalities and doctrines that violated the word of God, traditions that violated the word of God. They were monetizing the things of God, turning God's house into a den of thieves, and many such things. Absolute, they were murderers and liars, and Jesus makes it clear they weren't of light. They were of darkness. John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, I don't know why religion keeps saying we're just a bunch of sinners, no one's perfect. Really? Jesus said, be perfect as my Father is perfect. And we're called to walk in his steps. We're called, according to 1 John, to walk in holiness, that the seed, Christ, is in us, that we can't walk in darkness and sin. And if we do sin, we can confess it and be cleansed from it. And God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you cannot walk in darkness and in light any more than you can be safe in a boat and be drowning at the same time. You can't be in light and in darkness. You can't be in understanding and in non-understanding. Listen to this. John 8:37. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Jesus is speaking on a spiritual plane. They think he's talking about DNA and their spiritual inheritance back to Abraham. You should study this. There's no value in the flesh. There's no value in your DNA. There's no value in a position. It's your submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. How do you know a tree but by its fruit? How do you know who's your daddy? But you do, you're like your daddy. That's what Jesus is saying here. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. See? But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. They said, then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Listen closely. I want to point out, too, that in 1 John chapter 5, it does say that those that are born again love others that are born again. See? Because you love your brothers and sisters that are in Christ. And this is a telltale sign when you meet religious people. And if you are a true, faithful disciple of Jesus that loves Jesus and filled with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ emanates, is your life, those that are righteous will be glad when they see you. They love you. But it's a telltale sign when people do not discern the body of Christ. Just remember that. John 8:43. We're talking about people that don't get it, don't understand, because they're in darkness. Darkness doesn't comprehend light. Now listen to this. John 8:43. Why do you not understand my speech? That word speech is latria. It's the sounds of the words. Why don't you hear my words, the sounds of my words? Why don't they register in your cognitive mind and heart? Why don't you get it? He answers, even because you cannot hear my word. It's the word logos. See, people won't get it because they can't receive the way of the Lord. They can't receive his logos, his concept, the way he thinks. They can't receive his principles because he says, humble yourself and you'll be exalted. He says, be faithful in little and God will give you more. The Bible says humility comes before honor. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. This is really quite amazing. So we're talking today, why don't people understand? When you come speaking the words of God through the Holy Spirit, why is it people don't hear? Why don't they get it? Why don't they understand? Why do they let them fall to the ground, the words that are sown? No comprehende. I see this all over and over and over. I share the words of the Lord and people have no response. Not that they owe me one, but they owe the Lord one. To receive his words, to incline their heart, to incline their ears, to receive them, to grow in wisdom and in knowledge and understanding of the Lord, to seek his face. Very interesting. Here's a text in Proverbs 22, verse 20 and 21. I love this. Now, I know Solomon wrote this, but it's through the Holy Spirit. Listen, have not I written to you excellent things in counsels and knowledge? Yes, Lord, you certainly have. Your ways are amazing. They're awesome. They add life. They add peace. They add blessing. Listen, verse 21. That I might make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you might answer the words of truth to them that send unto you. Those two verses were confirmation to my spirit today that speaking God's word through the Holy Spirit, not adding, not subtracting, only speaking that which is in the Lord Jesus Christ, not adding leaven, but calling people to seek the Lord Jesus Christ and to do what he says, submit to his lordship, is the right way. And it pleases the Lord. And this is what all the apostles and prophets, all the evangelists, all the various ministries of Jesus Christ have always sought to do. But there's religion that is quite the opposite, just like Jesus encountered. Let's look at that. Quite an amazing story. Mark chapter 3. Jesus entered again into the synagogue. There was times when Jesus would go to the synagogue and he would speak as directed by the Father. And there was a man there that had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. See, apparently they thought it was wrong to heal somebody on a Sabbath day. So we have our ways of religion. We don't allow God to act, certainly not the Messiah, unless he has approval of our rabbi or the ruler of the synagogue. It's laughable, lamentable at the same time. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. That's a good question. Watch what they manifest. Jesus is doing good, and Jesus is ministering life and deliverance, miracles. And when he had looked around about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth your hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored, whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and immediately took counsel with the Herodians, which is the government. Remember, Herod was the political power of Rome that had conquered that Israel and Jerusalem and Judea, that area. They were occupied by a foreign country. This is spoken in Psalms chapter 2, where the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers, the apostate religious leaders, merged together against the Lord and against his anointed. It's quoted in Acts 4 about Herod and Pilate and the rulers of Israel that killed Jesus and persecuted the church. This is why this is so pertinent, is this is exactly what is being set up today. It has been throughout history. Notice what they do. They took counsel. They conspired with the Herodians how they might destroy Jesus. And here it is, the Sabbath. Here they are opposed to Jesus healing a man because it was the Sabbath. But they went out to conspire to murder him. That is classic hypocrisy and spiritual blindness, absolute atrocious rebellion. Same thing is recorded in Luke 13, a very similar act of the ruler of the synagogue. He's called an adversary in that scripture, the text, because Jesus healed a woman that had been bound for 18 years. The daughter of Abraham had faith. For 18 years, she couldn't stand up, and Jesus healed her. And Jesus said, "Don't you all untie your ox and your donkey and give it water on the Sabbath? Isn't it appropriate to heal this woman?" See how perverted thinking darkness is? Darkness doesn't comprehend light. They're in their own world. We've been talking about what Jesus said, at the end of the age, it will come as a snare upon all them on the face of the whole earth. But not for the righteous, not for those that have the light of the Lord, not for those that walk in light. It's for those that are not seeking the Lord, not submitting, not doing what he says. They become blind. The ones that don't listen to the Lord, they can't hear. They don't get it. Those that are in cahoots with the world, like Lot's wife, not like Lot. Lot was vexed, troubled. He troubled his soul, his righteous soul, from day to day with unwickedness of those regions that God destroyed in Sodom and Gomorrah with flaming fire as a furnace. God delivered it Lot, but his wife became a pillar of salt. Speaking of that, Proverbs 22, verse 3, a prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By faith, God warned Noah about things that were not seen as yet, and he moved with fear and prepared the ark to the saving of his family. See, 8 souls inside the ark, countless multitudes outside the ark. You can't be in the ark and out of the ark at the same time. You can't be in light and in darkness at the same time. You can't be in the kingdom of God, which is by submission and obedience, and in the world at the same time. Verse 5, Proverbs 22:5 says, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward or perverse. He that does keep his soul shall be far from them. See, the Lord hasn't called you to thorns, thistles, snares. He's called you to victory, peace, and joy, and righteousness, which has no end. It's in the light of the Lord. Darkness, they have no interest in the truth. They have no interest in the light. They don't speak the same language. No comprehende, señor. Wonderful. Looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it was saying, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So you're either one that has faith or no faith. Your faith may be growing in the Lord, but God gives every man a measure of faith. And faith works by love. And faith is a fruit of the Spirit of God. And fruit comes by hearing by the Word of God. But when you don't hear or listen or seek or walk in the light that God gives you, if you don't listen and take heed to the measure, you're not going to have faith. You're going to have no faith. But a true believer is not to be partnering, yoked together with an unbeliever. And for what fellowship? Koinonia. What fellowship, partnership has righteousness with unrighteousness? See, our money has two sides, hasn't it? Heads and tails. But in the kingdom of God, we're not heads and tails. We're Christ. We're in Christ. For he's our life. He is the Lord. He is our life. He is our all in all. And what communion has light with darkness? Interesting. What fellowship, what association, what partnership, what intimacy is there with darkness and light? That's the word koinonia. We're talking today about communication, talking about how darkness does not understand the light. They have no delight in the light. today, I'm so aware that people are religious. They say they believe that Jesus is Lord. Now, we know there are people that deny that Jesus is the Christ. There's people that will just flat out tell you, I'm not going to follow Jesus. But I'm talking about people that say that Jesus is Lord. And they know the gospel. They can quote the scriptures just like the Pharisees could quote Moses. But they don't do the word. They're hearers only. They're fools. And they'll come to utter destruction, just like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus was talking to religious people in Matthew 21, 42 through 45. But he asked, have you not heard the scripture that the stone the builders rejected has become the head of the corner? See, they reject the Messiah. It was all prophesied. They reject the Lord, the King. They want something else, someone else, some system. They don't believe it. They stumble at the words of Jesus, being disobedient. And they were appointed to this. The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. See, God's not looking into a physical genealogy. Israel, Judah. I don't know how that was pulled over on the religious churches of today, the institutions, 501c3, that are working with the government, just like Psalms 2 and Acts 4 that we've already discussed. How is that possible? Jesus has taken the kingdom from them, and it's given it to them that bear fruit, that submit. And it says this in verse 44, whoever shall fall on this stone, who's the stone? It's Jesus, shall be broken. Who fall means prostrate, bow, comply, obey. But whoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. You can't do both at the same time. Either you're going to fall before the Lord and bow and be obedient, or you're going to be disobedient and have it crush you, grind you, judge you. That's what the Lord was saying. Verse 45, and when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. Yes, that's right. And he may be speaking to you if you're doing the same thing. That's Matthew 21, 42 through 45. Jesus is calling, I gotta say it, he's calling for you to submit to his authority. Do what he says. Don't believe in your head that he's Lord, but don't do what he says. Don't reject what's written. Don't reject his voice that he's speaking from heaven. If he's dwelling in your heart, he's speaking. The Holy Spirit is sent into your heart, crying, the Spirit of his Son crying, Abba, Father. Don't shut it off. Don't go back into darkness. Because darkness doesn't comprehend light. No comprehende, Señor. I've been thinking about how God has enemies. God has people that hate him. God considers people his enemy that are opposed to him, that are stubborn and rebellious, that are hypocrites, as we've read, even the religious people were called enemies. Those people that were opposing Jesus healing the woman that was bound for 18 years, he called them, it was called there that they were adversaries. We want to know something very strange, is why people that say they are friends of God become friends with his enemies. How strange. Have you ever had someone that did you so wickedly, so evil, that you were in deep danger, and yet an acquaintance of yours buddied up to them? And you're looking at them, I thought they were my friend, and they know the situation. But you can't be a friend of God. Jesus said, if you're a friend of God, obey me. Jesus said, you're my friends if you keep my commandments. If you don't keep his commandments, you're not his friend. But the world is the Lord's enemies. And the religious world is his enemy because they don't do what he says. They're in rebellion. And we've proven this many times. I'm going to read this verse again from John 1:5. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, which is the word katalambano, which means to lay hold of, to make one's own, to obtain it, to attain it, to take it into yourself, to seize it, to take possession of it, to lay hold of it in your mind. Those that are in darkness reject this whole process of receiving the light of the Lord. See, the light of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the teaching of Jesus Christ can instruct you out of the ways of being a fool, of being a rebel, of being in darkness, of being in religion, of being in the world, of being in idolatry, of all the things of the flesh, and bring you out of opposition and bring you into harmony and unity and peace and joy in Jesus Christ. But if you love darkness, as others have in John chapter 3, that this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than the light, and they would not come to the light, lest their deeds would be exposed. Do you love darkness more than light? And you just don't get it. You just don't understand. But the ministries of Jesus Christ, the ones that have received the grace, are speaking the words of the Lord, because there just may be a few that God will give repentance to the saving of their soul. And this is our hope. We are going to speak forth the words of life of Jesus Christ in this dark, dark world that is on the path of destruction, the wide way that goes to destruction, that most go thereby, like a herd mentality, off into the abyss of darkness. But God's voice is being broadcast throughout all the world through the gospel of Jesus Christ, that whoever would believe on him, Jesus, who was sent by his Father, who God gave as a gift, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but would have everlasting life, that Jesus as an innocent lamb was slain for the sins of the world, and he was buried for 3 days according to scripture, and rise from the dead according to the scriptures. This is the gospel. It seems so foolish to the world and to the natural man, but God's foolishness seemingly is the wisdom of God that can save you through the preaching of the cross. Come out of darkness. Don't be an enemy of the Lord. Don't make friends with God's enemies. Who's an enemy? You cannot love God and love the world. That is an enemy of the Lord. James 4:4. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity, deep-seated hatred with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And the religious system that hates the truth, that is of darkness, does not comprehend the light of Jesus. They may speak of Jesus, they may quote the word, but they may say he's Lord, but they won't bow. They won't fall upon him and be broken. Therefore, Jesus Christ, in all authority and power, he said in Luke 19, bring therefore all those that would not have me rule over them and slay them before me.